Make yourselves comfortable. My master will be with you shortly.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go. Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tune tech to your way of life and let the technology work for you. On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you are a Windows, a Mac, a Linux, an iOS, an Android, a Symbian, a Windows Phone, or a BSD user, we've got the stuff you need to tune that tech into your way of life and let that technology work for you. My name's Nightwise, and for the coming 60 minutes or so, I'll be your host on KW4. 06 Geek Gift Guide, this week's Nightwise.com podcast episode. For more information on the show notes, go to www.nightwise.com. That's KNIGHTWISE.com, where you'll find the links to everything we talk about. And of course, the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to that feed and get all of the Nightwise.com content delivered to your favorite podcatcher automatically, letting technology work for you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can just send us an email, feedback@nightwise.com, or find us on Twitter, nightwise.com/Twitter, on Facebook, nightwise.com/Facebook. Google Plus, nightwise.com/Google Plus, or chat with us on the IRC chat channel on Freenode, and that is nightwise.com/IRC. Hey guys and girls, it's great to be back again. Got a couple of days off in the coming days and a lot of Nightwise.com stuff to get through, but first it's time to sit down in freezing Belgium. It's 3 degrees outside, 3 degrees Celsius, that is. So I am holed up here in the office with my nice cup of coffee and, of course, a brand new Nightwise.com episode. We got a special for you today. We got a showcase for you today. I was interviewed by Alison Sheridan of the NoSilicast podcast last Sunday on a topic that is dear to my heart, especially at this time of year, giving gifts to your loved ones. We are today going to hear an excerpt of that interview where we talk about a geek gift guide for somebody who has zero cash but wants to make the Christmas of your geek or non-geeky friends unforgettable. We're going to give you a lot of hacks, tips, and tweaks to give the perfect Christmas gift to your geeky or non-geeky friend using your awesome geek powers, the powers of the internet. I wish I had a sword right now. I could just stick it up by the powers of the internet. But we're going to use the powers of the internet to make a fantastic USB stick with all kinds of fantastic content on it. What? I hear you say, are you He-Man? No, I'm not He-Man. Are you IT Man? Yes, I'm IT Man. I have a sword with a network adapter and I stick it up and I say, by the power of the internet, I have the power. Sorry. Going nostalgic there. Not Masters of the Universe. What we're going to talk about is how to make a very nice gift for a geeky or a non-geeky friend using your geek gifts in this week Geeks Gifts Guide. Oh, so many G's. You know what? Just sit back, relax, listen.
It's that time of the week again. It's time for Chit Chat Across the Pond, and I am delighted to invite back to the show Nightwise from Nightwise.com. How are you doing today, Nightwise?
Oh, I am doing absolutely fantastic. I am collecting Ebola germs. So if halfway through
I'm working on tuberculosis and I think pneumonia here myself.
Wow, how's TBC going for you? Because I haven't had that one yet. I'm going to try that one a little bit later on. I've got the trial version of Ebola right now, but I'm not sure if I'm going to really install the application.
Fully invest on that. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm testing them both, you know, because you really got to be able to know which one you really want to go with.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I can donate my organs in liquid form afterwards. That is also a real, real, real big plus, though.
That's a handy part. Well, I'm going to keep popping cough drops to make sure I don't cough my way through this episode. But what are we going to talk about this week?
We are going to talk about, in spirit of the holidays, ching, 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 we are going to talk about giving your geeky or non-geeky friends the ultimate gift of awesomeness without spending any money.
Earlier in the show, I should have described ways to spend a lot of money. You're going to take us in a different direction, huh?
Yes. I'm going to teach you how to become the awesome Secret Santa or stocking stuffer for your friends or family and give them the gift of awesomeness and not spend any money in the process. But still, steal the party. Become the greatest Christmas Secret Santa stocking stuffer you could be.
Well, with that tease, let's talk just for a few minutes first. You're writing a book.
I am. That sounds so blasé. I'm sorry about that. Because every time I listen to some celebrity interviews writing a book, they always sit back and say, yes, I'm working on a book. And it sounds so...
it sounds cool. It sounds awesome to me.
I am perfecting the art of copy-pasting. I am... because at the end of the year, we are at Nightwise.com. We've got a little, not competition going, but a little thing going where people can donate to help us pay the hosting bill. And everybody who donates gets a book. And that book consists of, I think, 60 or 70, depends. I have to still finish the book, of the best articles from the last 8 years of Nightwise.com.
Wow.
Yep. I'm going to fill that up with the best of 5,000 of my pictures on Flickr.
Oh, jeez.
And whoever does
it. It's going to be a 48 megabyte book when you're done.
I'm afraid so. It's going to be a big one. I'm putting it out in PDF. I'm writing it in iBooks Author, which is a delightful application to write a book in. Mm-hmm. Or in my case, to copy paste your texts in.
But you wrote all that content. It's not like you're copy pasting from my blog, right?
No. This is all original content. This is 8 years of blogging. So there's all kinds of stuff in there. There are episodes in there that featured in Storytime. There are.
Oh, I love Storytime. Listen to the Nightcast or to Nightwise.com, to the podcast is really missing something. The one where you went back with the guy with the, what was it, a 15-year-old PC you'd built, and just the way you set the stage and you say, okay, close your eyes, sit back, relax, and we're going to have story time. Unfortunately, I was driving and that got a little dangerous, but that was one of my favorite episodes in a long time. That was fantastic. Steve loved it too.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of good reactions on story time. It's funny how it came to be because I recently write long blog posts when I'm really in the mood for it. But the Nightwise.com wise guys and wise girls have like an attention span of 15 seconds. So nobody's going to come. So I think the last line of my of every blog post could be goblins, 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 and nobody would ever notice. So
well, I'm not going to read.
Yeah, that's true. So
occasionally I'll select text and let the Mac read to me. That's as close as I get to actually reading.
Yeah, same for me. So I decided to start, reading those articles that I wrote, and the book that's coming out. Well, the book. Yeah, it's a book that's coming out. Features those stories, and it also features articles from the last 8 years, starting out with very personal. Real blog style stuff that I did back in 2004, and you can just see blog evolve into what it is today. So it's a lot of fun to do. It's also
that's pretty cool.
It's like really it's a real time machine. Especially when I started out in the beginning, I went like, wow, I used to put that on the internet. So it's a lot of fun to do.
And I would think it'd be fun as a Wayback Machine for yourself too.
Yes, there are some articles in there that are very personal to me, but. You know, it's out there. It's on the internet, and you can find it on the blog right now if you want to. But I wanted to bring them together and bring the pictures together and kind of give a little bit of a Christmas gift to the people who are supporting the show.
And that's a great idea. So iBooks Author will export to PDF.
iBooks Author will export to PDF, and iBooks Author, at least I hope so, and it will also, I think, output to EPUB, but I'm not sure about that one. So I think a PDF is going to be something that I'll hopefully be able to get out of this. Otherwise, I'll just print it and use the PDF
option.
Print PDF. I'm using the PDF standard because it's cross-platform compatible. I wish I could use...
And that's how you roll.
That's how we roll. I wish I could do the iBooks author one, because then I could really slide podcasts into there and videos and pictures. And,
well, you can do both. Yeah, there's nothing to keep you from publishing it on the iBooks, too.
Yeah, there's a thought. Now
just push a button.
Yeah.
I got a book. Here's the link.
Now, there's a thought. I haven't thought
of
that.
Give me a dollar.
Yet. Well, no, I don't need a dollar. I just need eternal fame and fortune. And just, you know, when I ever need to go for a new job, I could just put down on my resume, I authored a book, which is not very exciting, totally. But it's fun to do.
I think it's very exciting. Yep, all right. Yep. So let's get into this. You've given us a tease. You're going to give us the greatest present ever that we can do for free, and we'll be the amazing geek of all nations, right?
You will be the amazing geek of all nations, because you can give to those that are less geeky than us. I would say less fortunate, but that is, you know, just
also true. But
also true. Just perception.
Less geeky is less fortunate. So.
Of course. And we have to, you know, take them into our house at these days at Christmas, and, you know, just don't take poor people in. You don't need to. I mean, they'll find a shelter, but just take people in that are not as geeky as you are. That, you know, stare at an iPad 2. A 3 and an iPad 4 and go like, it's all the same. That's the people you want at your table. That's the thing. That's the people that need our help the most. So
what are we going to make for them?
We're going to make them an ultimate stocking stuffer. We're going to make them a super USB disc with all kinds of stuff on it. And it can be very personalized and it can be very global. It's entirely what you make of it. But the cool thing is, the only money that we're going to spend is the USB drive. And you can just, you know, go to Walmart, you know, wear something else than sweatpants before you go to Walmart.
Because, you know, they take pictures now.
Yeah, they do. They do. And there's this great site that is called People at Walmart. And there are some pictures.
You don't want to be featured there.
Yeah, we in Europe don't have Walmart. And when I see those pictures, I go like, I'm really happy we don't have Walmart. But, you know. Wear some nice clothes. Or
Walmart doesn't make people look like that. It's not the cause.
I seriously hope not. I mean, like, wow. But, you know,
this is going to be a 3-hour episode if we don't try to focus.
Okay, wear something nice or wear something and go to Walmart and buy a USB stick. And buy a 16-gigabyte USB stick. You can buy an 8 if you're, you know, if you haven't been visited by the three ghosts of Christmas just yet. You might just go old Scrooge on them and go on an 8 gig, but you can go for a 16 gig. It kind of depends. And we are going to give them a USB disk or USB stick with all kinds of stuff on it. It does take some work, but you are going to give an awesome gift to your loved ones, because they're going to get a stereo or an iPad or an iPhone, and they're going to like, look what I got. And then you're going to come with your gift, and everybody's going to laugh because it's a tiny, tiny gift. And then, you know, it just keeps on giving, and you'll be awesome. Trust me.
Okay.
The first thing that we need to do is have that USB disk, and we are going to put an entire operating system on there. Mm-hmm. We are going to give them a disk, a USB thumb drive that they can stick into any computer as long as it has an Intel processor, boot that computer up and run their own computer wherever they are, in the library, at their own system. If their system crashes, they can use the thumb drive. They'll have a live system on there, and it's a Linux system. Now, the great part is you can choose just about any Linux version that you like. If you like Linux Mint, you can use Linux Mint. If you like Ubuntu, you can use Ubuntu. If you like Zorin, which kind of looks like Windows, you can do that too. That's all great. The great thing about this is that you can make a bootable USB disk with an operating system on there and make that operating system persistent. And persistent means that whenever they change something in the operating system or add files, it stays there. So they have their own little portable Linux.
And you mean it's getting updated?
Yeah. If they change something inside the operating system, it's not like with a live CD where you play around, you pop out the CD and you put it back in and it's just like it was out of the box. Now, for example, if they change the wallpaper and it's to a persistent mode, it remains like that. They can really customize that system
and
like a real computer. Now, doing this on a Mac is not easy.
Creating it?
yeah, creating it is not easy. The only thing that you have to do is choose which version of Linux that you want to give. And I would personally say I would go for a Linux Mint distribution because it comes with all the bells and whistles.
Larry Bushy taught me to do that. I'm a fan.
Yes, yes. Larry is absolutely correct.
I do what Larry tells me to do, and yes, life's good.
Yes, Larry is wise. Linux Mint is a great distro. It kind of looks Mac-y little, so they won't get a culture shock. And you can use a command line tool, and I'll give you the link for the show notes, which will do it step by step on how to download the ISO file, put in the USB disk, and put a live CD on there. It's a step-by-step command line tutorial. It's not hard. All you have to do is copy-paste.
But okay, just do as you say and it'll work, huh?
Yeah, and the part where it says in your ISO file name here, that's mm-hmm. the name of your ISO file and not the word your ISO file here. Painfully obvious. But
I don't know, this sounds horribly tricky, but okay. So you've got this EPUB book we're going to download and it'll do that, right?
It's not a book.
Is it EPUB book? You've got a link to an EPUB book.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I do have a... Do I? Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's not the right link, because it's also asking me for a username and password.
And it's also a link to a Star Trek The Next Generation book. So I think I put the wrong link in there.
I thought that's just what you named it.
Sorry. I gave you the wrong link. I'll give you a new link.
Okay. All right.
sorry about that. Yeah, I thought so. EPUB? Yeah, no. It's a tutorial. I'll give it to you. Just copy paste it. If you don't have a Mac, you're lucky. If you have a Windows or Linux machine, you can try the application UnetBootin, and that's what it's called. I'll also send you the links in the show notes. And that will very easily tell you, okay, where's your thumb drive? Which version of Linux do you want to put on there? And do you want to make it persistent? Click,
so
click,
just
click.
Spoon feed you, huh?
Spoon feed you, click, push the button, and go. What it will do, it will install this version of Linux on a stick. So you got a USB stick with a version of Linux, portable operating system that they can use everywhere, anywhere, and use to their heart's content. Great. Zero cost, total cost, except for USB thumb drive, $0 so far. Now, that's one. So you've given them a portable computer, and the thing that now we're going to do is, because, you know, we've got a 16 gigabyte thumb drive, we've got some space. So we're going to put
some
stuff on it.
Right, because Ubuntu doesn't take up that much, right?
No, it takes about, I don't know, it depends. You want
a couple of gig, maybe, at the outside?
I think about 4 or 5 gig, but you want to leave some space on the disk because, you know, they're going to use that operating system and even store files in it. So
stuff on it. Sure.
Stuff on it. You want to kind of let it grow a little bit. But it's using just that is great to give somebody a portable system that they can use anywhere. So if they go to the library, they don't have to use the icky library computer with all the viruses on it. And when they go to the internet cafe, they don't need to use that computer. And it's cool. You just walk up to a computer and you say, nah, I don't need this operating system. I got my own operating system. People go like, wow, what's that? And you say, it's Linux. And who gave it? Oh, they're a cool cousin of mine. He's a real geek. And, you know, it's a great gift. And when their computer crashes and they tell you, get over here right now, you just say, Annie Ally, just put in the disk, boot the computer, and you'll be running Linux, and I'll come over when it's not raining anymore. And that's also great. So that's the gift of an operating system. But then comes the second part where we are going to give them free services. Because, you know, there are
an OS without anything on it isn't that much fun.
No, that's true. Because the great thing about having services is giving away free services is that you also give them possibilities, whether or not they want to use that operating system, that Linux Mint version. Basically, that's just to put something awesome on the USB disk to get started with. But we're going to do a little bit more. You don't have to touch that Linux system anymore. You can just do this for people who you love and you care about. But the first thing you got to give them is the gift of storage. Create them a Dropbox account. Just create it for them. And if they have their own PC, you can go over and say, well, Auntie, I've given you a Dropbox account, and now you can store 5 gigs of pictures and important documents online, and you'll never lose them again. So that's the gift of giving.
Plus, you can give them files, too, through that Dropbox if you set it up so you're automatically sharing with them.
That's true. And every time you give Dropbox, you can either score an extra 250 megabytes of storage for your own Dropbox.
For some reason, I've never figured out how to do that. Everybody else does it, and I'm too stupid. But I'm not even using the 2 gig I have, so I don't care.
Oh, yeah, it's 2 gig. I was, because 2 gig is only 2 gig. I mean, if you really love somebody, 2 gig is not enough. So you set them up with Ubuntu One.
Ubuntu, what's that?
Ubuntu One is also 5 gigabytes of file storage for free. And they have a client for the Mac, for Windows, and of course for Ubuntu. And there, they can also store files. So you can just set them up with an account there. And when you are on their system, you install the Ubuntu One client, and boom, 5 gigabytes of file storage. Files they'll never lose again.
Now, you know who's really going to win is when somebody figures out how to combine all of these things into one pile. And you just have one app that can talk to all of it, makes it into a virtual disk. Because I've got 2 gig over here. I got 5 gig somewhere else. I got 25 gig on SkyDrive. I got Google Drive. I want an app that just talks to all of it as one. And now I've got enough disk to do something with. Because even 25 gig, I can't really like do backups or anything like that on it.
The great thing would be if you would put all your files in a certain place locally and have that system upload chunks, encrypted chunks of that file to all those services. So nobody in the cloud knows what you have. And for you, it's all transparent.
Right. That's what I want.
We're still working
figure
on that.
That out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's there's an episode for a podcast. The second thing that you want to do is give them the gift of creation. And with that, I mean, set them up with if they don't have it yet, set them up with a Gmail account. And give them Google Docs. I've done this for friends and family and people that I love, and also the people that I don't like, because when the people that I don't like have a problem, they also call me. Especially for the people that I don't like, I set this up because they never call me again. You know, you get the phone call, and I want this in Word, and I've got this in Excel, and I want to do this, and then can you download that for me? And I'm done. I don't do Office anymore. So I just give people Google Docs. I say, like, look, this is your word processor. This is your PowerPoint processor thing. Here's your Excel. It's not, you know, hyper fancy, but if you use those super advanced features of Office, you obviously don't need my help when you have an issue.
Exactly. Exactly.
So here's Google Docs. Dabble in that, and you will never lose a file again. So the great
part. Okay.
So I've set up my entire family with Google Docs. They go, and I used to give them OpenOffice and stuff like that. I don't do that anymore. I just give them Google Docs.
Interesting. Interesting. Why not Google or OpenOffice? Just because they lose stuff and there's too many support calls associated with that?
Yeah, it's still, I've lost these documents and I don't know where that is anymore. My sister-in-law did her thesis. And she stored it on 2 USB drives. I said, are you nuts?
Oh, no.
Just do it in the cloud. Do it in Google Docs. You get your application there. You've got your, because one computer uses 2007, Office 2012. One was 2003. She had compatibility issues. She didn't know where she stored the last version. So I said, you know what? Here's the word processor and the storage all in one. And you can share it out with others and they can work on your document. And she thought it was absolutely awesome. And it doesn't cost you anything.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Good point.
Then give them the gift of backing up. Never assume that friends, family, or even fellow geeks back up by themselves. Don't. Don't assume. If you say, you know, I trust you to back up, you are naive. Set them up with CrashPlan. Now, CrashPlan is an application that automatically backups the file that you love to a certain location. Now, CrashPlan comes with online storage, which is not very expensive. And they had a discount on Cyber Monday, but that's gone now. But you can have unlimited backup in the cloud. So their files get stored in the cloud. You'll never lose them again. But you can also say to CrashPlan, your CrashPlan, back up these files to that external USB drive, which is also nice. But still, it's in the same house.
Well, wait a minute. But you're only running off of a thumb drive, so you can't back up to the same thumb drive. That would be silly.
That's true. But, you know, this application you can install on the Linux system that you give them or on the system that they are already running. This is more than the gift of the thumb drive. This is the gift of services. These are all accounts that we're going to
set. One of the things I understand CrashPlan can do, Katie Floyd talks about it all the time. What she does is her grandfather doesn't create that many files. So she has him back up to her hard drive.
There you go.
So if you really love this person, don't do it for the one you hate. But if you really love them, you could set up CrashPlan to back up to your hard drive over the network.
Give them the gift of remote storage. And that is exactly what a good friend of mine and me are doing. We've got a deal. I give him a 1 terabyte disk. He gives me a 1 terabyte disk. And we back up to each other. My files are in his house, encrypted. His files are in my house, encrypted. And should anything happen, we both have an offsite backup and a local backup of our own files. So especially if you're the family geek, come on. I mean, just, you know, if Auntie Jo's computer has gone up in smoke, and she's like, oh my God, I lost everything. And you just come swooping out of the sky in your blue tights and your red cape and your external USB drive. And you go like, Auntie, I've got it right here. I had it here all along. You didn't loot anything. I saved your kitten slash
here
files.
He comes to save the day.
There you go. That's what you do. And the great thing is you can turn that around. I mean, you can store, if you really love them and you really trust them, you can store your files over there as well. But what I've done is, you know, as the family geek with the big pipe, I just got a big box running here with some hard drives, and I have several external hard drives, backups, CrashPlan backups of my family being dropped down here.
And the other thing is, usually the people that you need to help the most don't create a ton of content, so they're not like editing video and stuff like that. When my father-in-law was finally done with Windows and he declared he was going to go to a Mac, we bought him a new iMac, and he was all excited. And I was like, okay, now I got to get his files off of his Windows box. But it was Windows 98. It didn't support thumb drives. Didn't like have USB yet.
I know. I know the story somehow.
For some reason, we couldn't use a CD. It didn't have a CD burner. We finally figured out we could email them because all of the data he had created in 8 years was 60 megabytes.
Yeah.
So we emailed it to the other account.
I mean, we are like big data hogs. We go like, come on, a terabyte. Who talks about terabytes? Me. But these people, you know, they got their Word files where they're working on and stuff like that. And it's all great. They don't use a lot of storage. For us, 2 gigabytes is like peanuts. But for them, sometimes it's more than enough. Especially when you use Dropbox, they've got versioning. They can go back several versions of a certain file. So, you know, I accidentally did this in the Excel file. And you can just say, okay, I'll go online. I'll see if I can find a previous version in Dropbox and mail it to you. And for them, it's all magic. But you're actually helping yourself. You're not only spending...
Because you didn't have to go over in the rain.
There you go. Speaking of...
So you're doing backup with CrashPlan, but also encouraging them to use Google Docs where they wouldn't have to do it in the first place, or possibly Dropbox. You know, between those three, some way you're not going to have to leave the house.
And if you do it right, there are going to be zero files stored on their computer, and that's what you want. Because you want as much as it being either backed up in the cloud or actually created in the cloud, so you don't have issues of local storage. Speaking of not driving over the rain, what you put on these USB disks, depending on what version of the operating system your favorite person is using, is the portable versions of TeamViewer. These are portable files either for the Mac or for Windows. They click on it and it will generate a number and a password. They call you up and they say, I've got a problem with my computer. They give you the number and the password, and you can just remote control their computer. You don't need to open up ports on a firewall. You don't need to install an application. You don't need to do anything, but just have that one, executable or portable application clicked, and you can remote control their computer.
So I've used TeamViewer before to go from my iPad to my Mac, things like that, to mess around with it. Are you going to install TeamViewer on this thumb drive inside Ubuntu?
You're not going to install TeamViewer at all. You just put the two executables, you know, the Macintosh version of the client side and the Windows version of the client side, depending on what the person uses, and you put it there. It doesn't install TeamViewer. It just runs TeamViewer. The client side of TeamViewer, it runs it once so it can accept connections.
Okay, so we're not on the thumb drive anymore.
You can put them on the thumb drive, but they can run it on their own computer. Or you can install Linux you can install TeamViewer in the Linux operating system too. But what you especially want to do if they already have a computer that they're using a lot, is just put the portable versions of the client side, and you can download them separately, on that thumb drive. So whatever computer they're on, they just pop in the USB disk in the operating system that they're currently using, Windows or Mac, and they just go like, I need help here. They go to the USB drive and they click on the TeamViewer executable or app, and it will open up a client session that you then can connect to.
There you go. Okay. Okay, I got you. So you don't have to do a lot of setup ahead of time. Just putting the executable there does it. Okay, yeah,
put it in a folder that says help, and just, you know, and I don't call them teamviewer.exe. I just call them helpmenightwise.exe. And the Ubuntu granny, she uses it all the time. She loves it. She just goes like, that's the help me nightwise button. And she sees it as a button, not as an application. It works fine. So TeamViewer is really nice.
Now, should we call it help me nightwise and connect it to you?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No. No, we're not going to do that. I don't love that many people. But, you know, the only thing that you want to do is not drive over in the rain and be able to help them. There's a flip side to this, because you can help them anytime. They will, after a couple of times, start expecting that you will help them right away. You can just help me from the comfort of your own couch. Yes, but I'm in the comfort of my own couch right now. Can you help me now? And, you know, when you come down, you need to say like, okay, sorry, I have to dig myself out of the snow. I'll be there next week. But, you know, once you get them into remote assistance, you don't have that excuse anymore. So you might want to take that into advisement.
Maybe pretend it's really hard when you do it, so they at least feel guilty in some way.
Yeah, just tell it hurts your brain to do it. It requires superpowers and you can't train them a lot. So something like that. Two more things that you want to give them when it comes to accounts is, you know, especially with the elderly, with the older people, give them the gift of communications. Give them a Skype account. They'll love it. Give them a Skype account on their Android tablet or their iPad or their Windows PC, and so they can talk to you. And for some of the non-geeks and some of the older people, it's magic. They love it. They absolutely love it. So
you know, we had a lot of fun. It sounds strange. It was fun at a funeral, but my buddy Harry passed away. He was 94, and I've gotten to be friends with his sister Rose, and she could not come out for the funeral. So I brought her in on, and we actually used FaceTime for this, and she had an iPad, and I had an iPad, and I carried her around the funeral, and she got to talk to everybody.
And you see, there you are. There you're the magician, and that's the great thing. I mean, why not? There's all
what I love though was this 89-year-old woman suggested it. She said, hey, could we do something with FaceTime? You know, my grandson has an iPad and he lets me talk to my grandkids all the time. Could we use that?
I think you should tie the iPad around your neck and just run around going beady, 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 beep, like Tweaky and Buck Rogers with Dr. Theopolis, which was kind of the same thing, you know, just carry them around and have them talk to everybody. So, yeah, I mean, why not? Why not set them up with a Skype account, especially the your mom or your dad, your grandparents? They'll love it. It's really nice.
Another good thing about Skype is you can use Skype to do a screen share of a single screen. Of these things, when you do when you share screen, like iChat used to do this, is if I had two monitors, you would see both monitors squished into your tiny little laptop screen. You're on 11-inch MacBook Air. You can't see anything. But with Skype, they can actually say, share this screen or that screen, and you can use that to help do your diagnostics too.
That's true. TeamViewer also has that option. And the combination of TeamViewer and Skype is like being God. I mean, for some of the non-geeks, they go like, you can see my screen and you can make stuff move and you can talk to me all the same. You must be God. And I go like, yes, I am. When it comes down to your computer, I am God. Now move over, mortals. Let me fix this. But
I did find one hard part of doing this. I was doing a Skype screen share with a friend of mine who was having a problem, and my son Kyle was there, was with me when this happened, and she was really getting confused, and we couldn't figure out what was going wrong. And finally, Kyle realized, I think we assumed she was using a mouse, but she was actually using a trackpad, and her finger was no longer on the trackpad. Now, that's really hard to diagnose, because unless you have a camera looking at her hand, you wouldn't have known what she was doing wrong. But none of my instructions would work, because she wasn't even, she was like on the table by this time, you know? So you do have to watch out for the physical things.
Yeah, yeah. But it does really help to have that visual side as an extra to your whole support project. So that kind of helps. One of the final accounts that you can, I mean, there are a lot of web-based services that you can give to people that really like it. I've my uncle's really big into geography. Geography. So I just introduced him to Google Earth. This man is in heaven for the rest of his life.
He must have loved that.
Yeah, he absolutely loves it. He taught me geography by, you know, sitting with me behind a big atlas and moving our finger from Belgium to Bucharest and where we were going and stuff like that. So giving Google Maps to him and Google Earth. Wow. I mean, he's blown away. Sometimes these little things, it's not the if it comes to smartphones and iPads and gear, it's not the gear, but it's what you can teach them to do with it that really helps. I mean, giving somebody an iPad, great, an iPad, but giving somebody who loves geography an iPad with Apple, not Apple Maps, that'll only get them frustrated.
Maybe not that.
But with Google Earth on it, they will love it. They will absolutely go like, this is magic.
I think you're right onto something there. I think the trick, what we tend to do is show the person what excites us. So I show somebody podcasting and I show them nightwise.com and they actually care about gardening. You know, I haven't shown them anything they care about. So it's finding out what do they like to do and what do they want to do. And you know, like 9 times out of 10, the person you're showing, it's like you show them their grandchildren. Boom. Now you're
lost.
God.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's either naughty stuff or grandchildren. So there, somebody's always there.
Who's your grandmother again?
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grandchildren. There we go. I used to teach the teachers. I had to, they got a mandatory course. These were older teachers in their 40s, and they got a mandatory course computing. They had to do a mandatory computer course. And I was 25, had to give it to them. So they came in. The first lesson, there was this guy sitting at my table, and he was pointing his knees towards the door, his back towards me, he sat there, just his back turned toward me, his knees and his face facing the door. That was the first lesson. The second lesson, I said, let's go to the internet, but let me show what does interest you. And one was traveling and the other was fashion and the other was gardening. And we went on the internet about that. And I absolutely, they absolutely loved it. They went like, wow, great. And I had them, because it's all about interest. Now, speaking about pictures of your grandchildren, give your grandmothers or family members access to a Flickr account where they can either post pictures to or have the whole family post pictures to it. You just buy the Flickr account and you just let them upload the pictures. Fantastic. Having all these pictures online, got that settled with my wife's family. When there's an event, everybody either gives their pictures to me, or they upload them themselves, and we have one massive Flickr account. And it's not like a Facebook page where you have to be friends with each other to see it. It's just one big.
Oh, so you don't use a Flickr group. You just have everybody's logging into the same Flickr account.
You can do that. You can give them their own account, but if you want a paid account or a Flickr group or something like that, you can do it differently. The big thing about using one account is that you can put personal pictures on there that are not accessible to anybody else. And you don't have to worry about rights and stuff like that. But just having them online is great. And giving them the ability, like, for example, with Picasa, to very easily get the pictures off their camera and upload them to the cloud, that's really nice. They really like doing that. So that's always nice.
I don't find Flickr to be the easiest interface in the world. I have found it frequently still tricky for me. So I'm not sure I would put somebody, a more naive user, on that. You know, Bart created a Flickr group for the No Silla Castaways, and it's great. But every time I go in, I'm sitting there going, okay, how do I add a photo to the group? Okay, I'm in my photo. I don't see anything here. Let me go over to the group. I don't see anything here. Let me go back to the photo. Oh, wait, he said something about share. Where's the share button? Control F, Command F, find share on the page. You know, it takes me maybe 2 minutes every time I go in, and I'm doing it like once a week to remember where it is. Maybe I'm just an idiot, but it seems harder than it needs to be.
True. The only downside with Picasa is if they slide in an SD card, it uploads everything. And there are some very interesting public galleries of people who have uploaded everything that was on the SD card. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But, that's the only thing that you have to be careful with. The thing I want to move on to is giving them the gift of free applications. So there is a lot of software out there, especially for Windows users, that is really nice. If you have friends with Windows computers, I would go to ninite.com, N-I-N-I-T-E, and that will let you build a installation script with all of the free software that you could want. Like, for example, Firefox and OpenOffice and Antivirus and Chrome. It's just all there. You point and click, it builds a script. You put the script on the USB drive, they slide in the script into their Windows machine, they double-click on it, and it will automatically install all this great free stuff to their computer.
This sounds terrifying.
It's absolutely fantastic. When I need
to... How do you know you can trust these guys?
These guys take the latest installers from all of the official sources. So they don't put any content on there. The script is just a script. The script goes to firefox.com, gets the latest version, and installs it. Goes to Chrome, gets the latest version, and installs it. So really great to give them all of the apps that they need in one go. And they go like, wow, look at all these great apps that I got from Uncle blah, 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 blah. You're the hero.
Okay, I'm looking at this, and it looks pretty cool. I see like web browsers, and it's got Chrome, Safari, Opera, and Firefox. You check the ones you want, and then messaging, Skype, Digsby, Trillian, Messenger. You know, it's got through each one of these that you check the ones you want, and then you hit, download, and then you're done?
Then you get that script file. You double-click the script file, and it will download and install all of the applications that you selected automatically.
So this is for Windows and Linux?
Yeah, correct.
Cool.
When you need to remaster a Windows system, that's what I do. I hit the recovery partition, so it recovers the operating system. Then I slide in my stick with Ninite on it and all the apps that I've selected, double-click on it, come back half an hour later, everything's installed.
Wow.
But that's when you want to...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do it on my Linux distribution.
It's also very nice on Linux. You got one script that installs everything. Really nice.
I like it.
The other thing that you can do is go to portableapps.com. Let me check the URL here because I'll also send that to you in the show notes. And it will have, it will enable you to turn that USB stick into a portable software repository where you can put in the USB stick into a Windows system, and then you can have all of these applications that you can just run without ever having to install them. And you can do that on any system. At work, I run a Windows laptop, and I don't have admin rights, so I cannot install anything. Yet, I want to create a screencast. So what do? I download a free version of, what was it called? Cam Recorder, I think, or Camtasia, one of the two. I think Cam Recorder.
It's Cam Recorder is the free one.
Yeah. There's a portable version of Cam Recorder. I have that on my stick. I double click on it, and I can run Cam Recorder, and I don't have to install anything. So they can use these applications on any computer without ever needing to install them. And there's also a whole bunch of free applications that you can put on there.
That one's an interesting one.
There is a plethora of apps out there that you can use. They can be started by a very easy interface, and it works on everything. You can even install it on an old SD card or on an old iPod or on an external USB disk. You can even put these apps in your Dropbox folder and run them from there.
Cool. I like it.
Then there is, of course, we've given them all of these apps, and here's the part where you have to know who's stocking your stuffing. You have to see what, that sounds wrong, but we don't
stock. Stuffing your stocking, I think is what you meant.
Stocking your stuffing. That sounds wrong. We don't have stockings in Belgium.
Oh.
We don't do that. When we have our stockings on the fireplace, is because they're wet and smelly and it's been raining outside. So not good. The gift of free music. There is so much free content out there, and I would direct you to iTunes. There are so many music podcasts that you can find out there and you can download. All you have to do in iTunes is right-click, say Show in Finder, and drag the file to the USB disk, USB thumb drive that you're giving as a gift. And I'm just talking about my personal list of podcasts. I mean, I love the Space Music podcast, which is all kind of chilly music. And I love the Chillcast, which is relaxing music. I love trance music. I've downloaded some of these complete RSS feeds. I had 55 episodes of 2 hours, and I gave them to somebody who loves dance music, and she looked at me and she said, "Wow, where did you find this?" I said, "On the internet." "But yeah, you're a pirate." I said, "No, this is free." And she has them now for a couple of months now, and she's also learned how to subscribe, and she comes to me and she says, "I never have to buy music again." And that's the great part, because you expose them to all that content. And those can be music podcasts, but also the spoken word, of course, you know, giving somebody all 38 episodes or 50 episodes of a Nightwise.com podcast. Now, there's a gift, but I'm just, you know, giving examples.
The gift that keeps on giving.
There's a gift that keeps on giving. So you have to actually go into iTunes and kind of search what they like. I wouldn't buy music because it's DRM'd, it's not DRM'd anymore. You can also do that, but you know.
But that's dodgy.
We're talking free here. So we're not going to spend any money. So finding podcasts online is really, really nice. Speaking of music, there's also the great gift of knowledge. If you've got somebody who is kind of geeky, you'll love knowledge, and there's so much to be found on the internet, but what do you give? I like downloading some fantastic TED Talks episode. I found a TED Talk episode on a brain surgeon who had a stroke.
Oh, I talked over you there, but you said had a stroke. Yeah, that was a fantastic one.
I gave that to somebody at work who had a stroke as a little bit of a gift. I said, you know, I think you want to watch this. And he was moved to tears. And he said, like, that was such a gift for me. That was so, so nice. So there's so many TED Talks out there that you can find that are inspirational and that can help, you know, give people the right message that you need. You have a grandson and you can just, you know, yap to him, "You got to do something with your life and stuff and that." And they go like, "Yeah, you're anti yap yap. I don't listen to you." But why not give them some great inspirational TED Talks that, you know, might get a message across. There's such a great way to give knowledge.
That's a really good idea. I was a friend of mine is considering a job change, and she lives 10 minutes from work right now. And so she can jet home for lunch. She can go see her daughter at school. She can come back to work. You know, it's just wonderful. But she's considering a job change where she's going to have about a 45-minute commute, and she's really dreading. And it's changing whether she'll take this opportunity because of that. And I asked her, I said, "So in your car, do you have like a USB port on the radio or a headphone jack?" And she said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "Have you got a smartphone?" She says, "Yeah, but it's a Droid and I don't know how to use it." And I said, "All right, what we're going to do is we're going to hook you up with something like, I was thinking about iTunes U, and I was going to ask you, how to direct somebody who's on Android to something like that. But I said, you can be driving and learning, and she really cares about bettering yourself. So instead of listening to drivel on the radio, why not start learning while you're in that time? And plus the time goes by a lot faster when you've got something fun to listen to. So if you do have someone who's got Android and they're going to try to listen in the car, I know they can't get to iTunes U. What else can they do that's along those kind of lines?
You can get to iTunes U. You can just subscribe to iTunes U, what they're interested in, download it, and just put it on the disk. Just right-click on the iTunes U file, say Show in Folder, and drag the files to the USB disk. So you're this is a gift where you actually...
This can't be a long-term thing for me to do it for her.
No. But you can expose her to it. iTunes U is a lockdown... kind of a locked down thing, but there are plenty of things out there as well. When it comes to knowledge, there's, of course, the Khan Academy. And Khan is spelled like K-H-A-N or K-H-A-N or like Khan, that kind of Khan Academy. And the Khan Academy explains one thing to you really good. So depending on what you like, science, history, math, you can just go to the Khan Academy and get a lecture. I love the Khan Academy. I wanted to know what the Bay of Pigs was about and the Cuban Missile Crisis. So I went to the Khan Academy, watched the video, and somebody explained in great detail and very, very comprehensible what the Cuban Missile Crisis was about. So you can learn so much there. You can have a Khan Academy app for your iPhone. You can just go to their website. You can go to an Android site. You can just find them there. There's a lot of content there, really well explained. I absolutely love it. So
I've heard a lot about this. I had never actually checked it out myself. I just went to the KhanAcademy.org website, and it's got a section for math, for science, computer science, finance, and economics. Let's see, humanities, and even test prep for stuff like the GMAT and SAT math and stuff like that. That's pretty cool.
It's so nice to do and to play around with. So I really like that using the Khan Academy, because it's about a certain topic, and TED Talks are just general talks or about a certain topic, but not something that you want to, you know, it's different. But
Now, can you get to something like the Khan Academy without iTunes?
Yes. You can just go to their website. You can even use an Android application to go to the Khan Academy. They're much more open than iTunes U. They're a good alternative.
Good. Okay.
Then you got, like I said, the TED Talks, Khan Academy, iTunes U. And then, of course, there are podcasts in iTunes about a certain topic. I wanted to know the history of the Second World War. So I downloaded an entire series about the history of the Second World War. I learned so much. If you got a family member who needs to go, you know, these are difficult times for people and they need to have job interviews. You know, some of them might have lost their jobs or need to go over to look for a new one. Why not give them a podcast that goes about how to deal with job interviews or motivational speaking or confidence or stuff like that or de-stressing? They will, you know, they will be very grateful, because that is at that moment exactly what they need. Yes, sure, they need a pressure cooker. Yes, sure, they need that gift of that frying pan that they got. It's all handy, but this content is perfect for their situation, and you need to know the person you're stuffing their stocking, but you can give them exactly the information that they need. So that's really nice, the gift of free knowledge. So finally, I'm going to round up here with one thing, and that's going to be one resource that you can use to download books, music, movies, and all kinds of stuff, and that is the Internet Archive.
Oh, I always forget about that. Tell everybody what that is.
The Internet Archive. A lot of people know the Internet Archive as the Wayback Machine. You know, you go to the Internet Archive and you can see how Hotmail.com looked in 1993, which is fun. But the Internet Archive is filled with heaps of content. I am talking B-movies from the 50s, of which the rights have actually, you know, surpassed. Nobody has any legal rights to it anymore. Movies. I watched 1984, the stage play. You can just find it there and download it. Find a lot of free books. If you remember A Tale of Two Cities, if you're a Star Trek fan and you want to know what comes after It Was the Best of Times, It Was the Worst of Times, Message, Spock? No, not other than Happy Birthday, Jim. No, if you really want to know what's in that book, you can find that book there. You can find... I've been rummaging around because it's a toy chest and it's a treasure trove. You can find so much. I found the audio logs from the New York Fire Department on 9/11.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I listened to in the car, and I know it was recorded and I know it wasn't real. And I got goosebumps because, you know.
You mean, no, it was real.
It was real. It wasn't live or anything, but it was like you were there. Stuff like that you find on there, and depending on the interest of the person you're giving it to, you can find amazing, amazing things on the Internet Archive. Take your time to dig around, but you would be surprised what you find, and it's all for free. And if you put that on a USB stick together with all of the stuff that you mentioned, that we mentioned earlier, you'll be really giving them the gift that keeps on giving, because 16 gigabytes is a lot of storage.
Well, this is really, really cool. You know, pieces of this I knew about, but putting it all together in one context really shows how much you can get for free and how, like you said, you can be a giant hero on Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube videos. You can also go on YouTube and download what you like. Video clips. If you got a kid that loves video clips, why not use a random YouTube download or download some video clips or show them some TV shows from when you were a kid or all kinds of stuff. There's so much wild stuff on the internet. Curate it, collect it, and put it on that one USB stick, and that will just be, you know, concentrated awesomeness right there. And you haven't spent a dime.
I love it. Well, this has been fantastic, Nightwise. This is really, really cool. Well, hey, I'm going to cut us off, though, because we could keep going on. We do tend to go on a bit. Why don't you tell people how they can find you and what the show is about?
You can find me over at Nightwise.com. That's KNIGHTWISE.com. And Nightwise.com is the site that lets technology work for you instead of the other way around. And we offer hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. So whether you're a Windows or a Linux or an Android or an iOS or an Apple or a Windows 8 or a Linux BSD or a Sun or an OS 2 Warp user, well, not the OS 2 Warp users, we're not going to do them anymore. But no matter what operating system you use, we've got something for you. We do a bi-weekly podcast and we do daily articles on all kinds of stuff like what I mentioned earlier. So it doesn't matter what operating system you use, we got something for you at Nightwise.com.
Fantastic. And what would they follow you on Twitter as?
You can easily follow me all over the place. If you want to follow me on Facebook, just go to Nightwise.com/Facebook. If you want to follow me on Google+, Nightwise.com/Google+, all one word. Twitter, Nightwise.com/Twitter. And if you want to subscribe to the show, Nightwise.com/subscribe.
Look at you. Got all these fancy pants things. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us now. This was fantastic.
It was an absolute delight to be on the NoscillaCast once again. I do hope you enjoyed listening to that interview as much as I did giving the interview. It's always nice to be interviewed by Allison Sheridan of the NoscillaCast podcast. If you even have one gene in your body that has a minute interest in anything related to Mac, you should have been subscribed to the NoscillaCast podcast ages ago. Allison is a fantastic host with an enormous geek factor, very high technical knowledge, and the ability to entertain the masses in her NoscillaCast podcast. Go over to podfeet.com, podfeet.com, and we do thank Allison from the bottom of her heart for giving us the opportunity to share this interview from the NoscillaCast podcast with you on the Nightwise.com podcast. Well, that's about all we have time for this week. As you heard in the interview, we do, however, have a request to make. The Nightwise.com podcast is a free production. We are not tied into any podcast networks. We don't have any sponsors. And you don't have to pay us anything to be entertained and get your knowledge and your kicks from Nightwise.com. We do daily articles. We've got a website running. And there are, unfortunately, bills to pay. The Nightwise.com podcast is free. And we hope to continue to make that free. And that is why we need your help. I would like to pay the hosting bill with your donations this year. I'm not going to ask for a lot of money. I need about $240 to pay the hosting bill, and your donations might help. Now, you might be saying, "Nightwise, that is begging. That is not classy." It is not begging. If you donate and support the Nightwise.com podcast, you do not only get the Nightwise.com podcast, because there's a server there that actually has it, you also get a free ebook. I'm currently working on a book which gives you the best articles from 8 years of Nightwise.com, all wrapped up into one awesome book, and with some fantastic pictures from 5,000 pictures, a selection from 5,000 pictures I took on Flickr all over the years. It's always going to be a best of nightwise.com. It features story time stories, articles, very personal blog entries, and some unseen, unpublished, and yet unreleased material. You want it? Want it? You like it? You're curious? Want it? Want to give it as a gift? Perhaps keep it for yourself? All you have to do is donate. Just like good friends of the show, Gerard Molnen and Brett Hughes. Thank you, gentlemen, for donating something to the Nightwise.com podcast. You will be receiving, by January, the first signed editions of our digital ebook, either in PDF or iBooks format, whichever you prefer. Thank you guys for donating and supporting the show. You too can have the book if you want to go over to www.nightwise.com, hit the PayPal button, and throw us some, well, cash. Doesn't have to be a lot. Everybody who donates anything, okay, 1 cent, that's just cheap. Let's keep it above 10 cents or above a quarter or a nickel. I don't know. A little bit. If you just donate something, what you can give, you will get a free copy of the book. So you're not donating anything, you're buying something. And that's always cool. So that's all we have time for this week on the Nightwise.com podcast. Send us your feedback, feedback@nightwise.com, or post your feedback on the blog articles on the website over at www.nightwise.com, where we do daily articles about life on the edge of real and cyberspace and how to tune tech into your way of life with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/nightwise, or you can also find us on Facebook, nightwise.com/Facebook, Google Plus, nightwise.com/Google Plus, or you can hang out with the other wise guys in our IRC channel, nightwise.com/IRC. The end of the year is approaching, so I've got some free time on my hands, and I'm going to devote that to nightwise.com, producing content and getting more stuff out there. I've got some stuff to review here, I've got a video camera charging, and I've got some free times on my hands, so you know what that means. And I also might be doing a live show at the end of the year, once again, where you can contribute and chat and hang out and be amazed at the awesomeness of the guests that come on the Nightwise.com live radio show. We did that a couple of years ago. We had a lot of fun, so this year might do that again. See you guys on the flip side in the next episode of the Nightwise.com podcast. Until then, find the hacks, tips, and tweaks that work for you, that you tech into your way of life, and that make you a cross-platform geek. Until then, see you guys and girls next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the Nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace. But it's not all that important.